Hello, my friends. So that is how the Duchess Catalina ended up on the run with four members of the Royal Guard. Yes, yes, I know you want to get to the exciting parts about the Sorcerers of Porte and the Explorers League. You want to hear about their return and all of the Bogmongoose celebrations. But you asked me to tell the story, and this is how I tell it. Don't worry, my friend. It'll be well worth your time. Now, where was I? Ah, yes, they were escaping, fleeing on a no-name ship to the Prophet knows where. All the while, Oratrios was falling to corruption from within.
Alright, so where we last left off, you guys had finished adding some details to the map, and we're going to call another audible in this game, and if anyone wants to add any other large physical features to the map, you can do that now.
I would like to add a creepy catacombs to the city. I'll say it was originated by the Gravediggers Guild to make things a little bit more efficient. And they hold all the power with that.
Hang on. Are you telling me that there is a guild of people that bury people, then hold power with that by being like, you want to know where Gramp is buried? Pay up, sucker, or you don't get to know.
Well, they're the ones that like manage everything like behind the scenes, like storage wise. And various people have tried to put restrictions on them, and like depending on what it is, they're like, okay, that's reasonable, but ultimately, like, if it's something ridiculous, they are just like, nope, we control the catacombs. You can't make us do this.
I think Caitlin tried to describe it as not being, you want to know where Gramp is, pay up, sucker. She tried really hard not to describe that, and then she just described that.
I did also like the point where you were like, it's for storage. You know, like dead guy storage.
They have to move them around every so often, and they have to rotate their product.
All right, so you've added your creepy catacombs. Would anyone else like to add a physical feature?
Yes. In the top right corner of the map, I think there is, like, have you ever heard of, like, Garden of the Gods in Colorado?
I have.
It's basically, yeah, it's like, there's a lot of, like, rock formations, and I think it's like a day's trip, and it's used by the army for training, because, you know, it's got a lot of those, like, features that they can use. But also kids in the town will use it as like a hangout spot. For instance, Lena and her twin would, you know, go there a lot.
Smoke cigars.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't have to be anything dramatic on the map.
Is there a Grave Diggers Guild up there, you know, extorting people to see Gramp too?
I want to name it something like Garden of the Gods, but I just can't think of anything clever yet. So give me some time.
It's hard to top Garden of the Gods. I get that.
Right? It's a good name. It's a really good name. So let me think about it for a little bit, and I'll see what I can come up with.
We could just flip it into Spanish.
All right, let's see.
All right, so moving on. Or does anyone else have anything they want to add?
I'm good for right now.
Could we do Jardín Dios? That would be combining garden and God.
Yeah.
It's like Jardín is garden and Dios is God. So.
Yeah, why not? I think that sounds great.
All right.
So moving down the line, I'm just going to assign the roles to make my life easier. Cody, you're going to be the cartographer round one. Vinny, you are the companion. Mandy, you're the witness. And Caitlin, you're the lore keeper.
So right now, Vinny is the titular companion.
Yes. You do nothing to begin with, Cody, since we're separated by vast distances of space. So, Vinny, there is a list that I listed in the Discord of what archetype your hero is. Or your companion, not hero.
This doesn't have to relate to the party, does it?
No, these are people that interact with the party.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
So they are not any of you four.
And I don't necessarily have to answer like specifically related to my character, it's just the party in general.
No.
Okay.
Just the party in general. I would say don't make broad sweeping statements about other people's characters, you know, like...
Right.
Like something hyper-specific about one person, yeah.
Right.
While Vinny is thinking, can you remind me what the witness does?
The witness will be... It says, nudge other events in the world forward. So you'll look at part of the map and talk about an event that's going on there. You don't need to tell a story, just kind of share some facts of what's happening.
Okay.
And you can, and definitely you can leave things open-ended, like... This is the setting up of factions and drama and stuff.
Yeah, so this is stuff that's happening on the map with the town.
While the four or five of you are gone.
Okay. Okay, I have another question for you, Zach.
Go for it.
Do you know who is taking over, who killed the Duke and all of that?
I know who killed the Duke. Yes. Like, there is a person who... Okay.
I think it was the Duchess.
There is a person who killed the Duke... That does not mean he did not use one of the factions that you guys make up or describe.
Okay.
Or that he is not playing them all off of each other, or that he just murdered the Duke and let everyone else have it.
Okay.
You know, like, there is a person, like, I know who the big bad is. It is. So, like, but if you add people that might have done it, like, he might be working with them, you know? Like, I'm not saying he's not working with a evil Duelist Guild member, or he's not working with... Heritage of the Harvest Knight or whatever kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Totally. No, it absolutely does. That just gives me a direction for what's going on in the town during this first year.
I guess what time frame is this? You said this is the first year, but first year of what?
Your 3-year quote-unquote exile.
This is the first year after the Duke was murdered.
Yes. So you guys will be gone for 3 years before you return to town. So... You will all have a turn being a companion, so this will all be taking place in your first year that you are on this high seas.
Okay, sorry, I've got a lot of questions, just trying to make sure I get what this is.
Nope, it's not a problem. We're playing a new game, so it's going to be a little rocky right here.
So, you say companion, does it actually have to be someone that travels with us, or is it just, could it be someone we just passed by?
No, not necessarily.
Just we happen to run into, has a short interaction with?
It can be someone you happen to run into and has a story about the crew.
Okay.
And then once you have an idea of what companion you want to be, I have the theme for your scene.
All right. I'm going to go with mercenary.
All righty. You get to pick one theme to define your story. It can be a story of restoration or a story of disorder.
Let's go disorder.
All right. And
I guess I also misunderstood exactly what I was doing there. I thought I also was coming up with the story, like, at the same time. That's what took me so long. So.
No, you're good. And now drawing a random face card, this is the mercenary, Vinny.
Nice.
He looks kind of like a jester with glasses and has a tarot card that looks made of stained glass for those watching at home.
It's a card of a guy holding a card. Does the card he's holding also have a guy holding a card?
They're holding a wand or one of the things you blow, the windmill thing,
pinwheel?
That
thing.
All right, Vinny, tell me your story.
Okay, so a short time after the Duke's assassination, as the group is on the run, they come across a group of mercenaries. And I imagine the mercenaries must have seen them in combat, fighting somebody, and were impressed by their skill, especially impressed with Sigrithur. And they invited Sigrithur to join them, and she actually considered it briefly.
So she's a betrayer, almost.
I mean, you don't necessarily, the rest of the party wouldn't necessarily know that she considered it.
No, but I know, Vinny.
I think it's good. No, I think it's good. I like it. Mandy, what is going on in the world? And by world, I mean the town of Oratrios.
Back in the city of Oratrios, eventually I'll say that within one try. The Duke was very beloved. So in this first year, there's a lot of a certain faction having to crack down on the city. I think the biggest thing would be that, like, the biggest thing on our map would be that, like, the Harvest Night Festival ends up being, like, really small. Like there's guards everywhere. People are like, there's like a curfew to try to keep the people in line and to suppress any rebels that there might be. Not to say that there are not any, but that's like the big thing happening in the town during this year.
So is the town guard just kind of trying to seize a little bit of power then, and like, we're in charge now?
I think whoever killed the Duke, one of the first things they did was get the city guard on their side, because having that kind of power is gonna, having the military on your side is going to be huge in getting the rest of the city to follow you if you plan on using force.
Cool. I'm going, if you don't mind, I'm going to say that is like the nobleman faction. I think the people who would try to do that immediately were the people who already lived in town.
As the people who bought
off the guards to take control of them.
Oh yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Well, because in
I don't have a name for this person yet, but there's probably like someone who was the conniving noble, you know, where it's just like no one really liked this guy, and he's like, well, the Duke's gone, I'm in charge now.
Yeah, well, and especially with my backstory, like I think a lot of nobles end up feeding into the city guards. Mm-hmm. And so that would make sense as like someone trying to take charge would probably be someone who has people in, it would be a nobleman who has people in the city guard that are either related to him or owe him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's Señor Santiago.
All right. Kaylin, can you write that down somewhere? Yep. Kaylin, tell me about a part of culture of the city.
There is a musical movement during this time that's really percussive and focused on drumming and a lot of rhythm. And there's been a lot of fighting in the city during this year. And so this kind of music sort of like combines and drowns out the unrest that's maybe elsewhere.
So like protest music?
Not protest music, more just trying to...
Yeah, like house music.
Like, keep some semblance of normalcy amidst, like, all of the other, like, terrible things going on elsewhere.
Gotcha.
As a way to, like, sort of assimilate it, even though, like, things are really not normal. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'll say.
I understand that's not what you said, but now in my head, it is definitely house music.
All right. Cody.
Yes.
What is the earliest signs of corruption in the city?
Is that... Okay, so I have like a game question. You said that my thing was the cartographer.
Yes.
Is that supposed to be related to like... Is that just an open-ended question and that's what the cartographer does?
So usually the cartographer is the one drawing on the map. So if we were playing this in person, you'd be doing all the drawing this round.
Oh, I'd be drawing... Caitlin's technically always the cartographer.
Right.
Sorry, got it. So, I'm just getting a question.
You're getting a question, yep. Which I should have done earlier, but, you know,
no,
we're learning a game.
It's fine. You said you're far away, so you're not doing this, and I was like the ship is far away from Oratrios? Like, no kidding.
No, no, no.
That's always going to be true.
Physically, we are separated from each other as real people.
I didn't understand. I'm so dumb. Oh my god.
Hey, no, it's an honest mistake.
Sorry. Okay, I'm here now. I understand what's happening in this game. Tell me that question one more time.
What are the earliest signs of corruption in the city?
Okay, so this is tough because, like, really, I would say the answer to that is probably the dead Duke. But let me think about that for a second.
I mean, that's not necessarily corruption. That's just an assassination. You know, like...
Just an assassination.
I mean, we're in medieval Europe. It happens.
Oh, okay, so I like this. What time of year do you think it was that the Duke was assassinated?
Midwinter, because it was like a New Year's Eve festival.
Okay, so the first year, the Harvest Night Festival, you know, is, like I said, like a high summer holiday, like after the rainiest seasons, that celebrates the fact that their crops didn't get ruined early in the growing season by rains, right? I think the first sign of corruption is just, it's very subtle. It's just that is not well fed. And what I mean by that is that, you know, normally this would be kind of like a banquet or a buffet style thing, right? There's food out for everybody. Oh, that's what it is. This is the first time that there has been parts of the festival closed off to the peasantry, right? This is the first time that the ruling class has ever restricted food during the Harvest Night Festival. They still have it. It's still, oh, it's this lavish festival. We're doing it for the people. Oh, it's to celebrate prosperity, and we've made it through another year together. How wonderful. But this year, the people that are armed are like, well, but, you know, we have our own festival, and it's like a ball, and you guys, and it's in the castle, and the gates are closed, you know, and you guys over there, well, like, we have all these things out, we have food out for you, and it's nice, but you can just tell, like, oh, they kept the nicest stuff in there, didn't they? You know, like, just, like, the nicest delicacies that are rare are missing from the meal and are elsewhere.
All right. I like it. As in, it's a good story beat, not that it's a good thing to do. All right, continuing on. We are still in year one, but we're all shifting our positions down. So Vinny is now the cartographer. Kaylin will be a companion. Mandy will be...
culture?
Oh, I messed that up. I should not have. Mandy, you'll be lore keeper. No, wait, hold up. Kaylin was lore keeper. Kaylin, you're cartographer. Cody, you are the companion. Vinny, you're the witness. Mandy, you're the lore keeper.
Okay, wait, sorry. I'm the companion this time around?
You're the companion this time around.
Okay, got it.
Kaylin, what vulnerable population is going to suffer due to corruption? And just don't say the peasantry.
Right, I'm trying to avoid doing that because we kind of already established that. I'll say the Explorers Guild is going to be a lot more pressured to get good things, and just like the people in charge are going to be driving harder bargains, because at this point the supply has been high, and so now people are a bit choosier. You know, they've seen what kind of powerful artifacts can be found, and so if you bring back something that's like, oh, that's cool, you can turn this rock into a little bit of copper, like, well, I saw one that can turn this into gold. You know, I think a lot of people have joined up because it was like, oh, this lucrative, famous profession. And now people are being choosier and there's fewer things that have been found lately.
Are all the grunts being treated worsely? You know, like they're like expected to bring in more and getting less returns?
Yeah, people are working their crews harder. It's harder to get a ship of your own and get a crew together. And then when you bring something back, the returns on that are not as good. You're not getting paid as much.
Okay. Cody.
Yes.
What archetype would you like for your companion? Taking away mercenary.
Okay.
So you have patron, mentor, or nemesis left.
That is a really good question. Let's go with Nemesis.
All right. This can be a story of creation or a story of pride.
I want to go with a story of creation. And I think, okay. So let me ask this just like, as I understand it, is this meant to be a story told from the perspective of the Nemesis about the crew?
Yes.
Okay, got it.
So you can do what Vinny did. The book recommends doing it using I pronouns.
I understand what you mean.
Doing a world shop, yeah.
Yeah.
So your character looks like a suburban dad who decided to dress up as a French tradesman.
For the Ren Faire.
For the Ren Faire.
He looks like a fine, upstanding gentleman.
He looks like he would say something about, like, oh, I do declare. I need those ships firing. We're not making a profit doing nothing.
Hang on, I need to Google one thing. Wow, okay, that is much higher than I thought it was. Sorry, so I was looking up ranks of, like, like naval ranks during this time for the British. And man, there is but one thing above captain. I did not realize how high captain was, you know? I kind of assumed there was a whole bunch of other stuff. There's like a million petty officers, and then it's like commissioned officers, lieutenant, commander, captain, commodore. Like, okay, well, fine.
I think in like the military now, captain, like in the army, that's...
The captain's still pretty high.
Okay.
It's captain...
Sorry, Carl.
It's like captain, then like lieutenant, colonel.
Oh, okay.
And then you're getting into generals.
Okay.
So it's basically the same thing. They just like slapped on general on the top where it's okay. Like, oh, you're managing like fleets of fleets.
Anyway, continue, Cody.
You're managing fleets of fleets of fleets.
I mean, I don't think it's wrong.
Sorry, I need to look up one more thing because I'm going to name this guy. This is, I will say, I think this is a fun game. This is going to benefit from editing because I totally understand why you kind of have to like get a little bit together before you're just like, all right, and now I'm telling a story. Here we go.
I think the game works a little bit better, too, when you're not trying to do it in an established world where it's just like you're supposed to just like completely make up everything.
No, this is fine. I know exactly what I want to do. I just am trying to come up with a name for him. Yeah, Giles Gray. All right, so this is a...
I want to punch him already.
This is a journal entry from Captain Giles Gray. The trade is often very beneficial to the... Hey, Zach, what's the name of the British people?
The Glamour Isles.
The Glamour Isles. Typically, we trade in many and sundry things, not least of which is... the stock of humans for labor, captured in many wars or taken from less than desirable locations, but of late, our important and noble ventures have been interrupted by this ship of miscreants, these ne'er-do-wells that dare to come into the Glimmering Isles trading domains, and unfortunately, it has captured the attention of Captain Giles Gray, the greatest naval captain ever to sail these seas, and now to become the most famous pirate killer. Why, just last week I had an encounter with this terrible crew. What's the name of the ship?
You guys haven't named your ship.
Oh boy, I get to name of the ship. Guys, I think we work together on this.
Don't mess up, Cody.
Cody, you don't get to name the ship. You get to throw out a name, and then Caitlin gets to make it better.
Oh, wait. You know what? Okay, so we just kind of commandeered whatever the first ship that we could get was, right?
Yes.
And then just had to, like, take that and run with it. So I think it's kind of like a crappy thing that we've, like, taped cannons to. This ship had no name and flew no flag. It seemed to be a terrible trade sloop that cannons had just been dropped onto the front of. But when I made my approach and attempted to do honorable battle as ships are meant to do, this crew of cowards summoned a kraken of flames to beset my ship. Now, my men are brave, and they manned their stations and did their duty, and yet... before we could come into range, a deranged barbarian woman and a man with red hair who seemed to be... I don't know the right way to put this. There would be women on the ship. Never mind, we're going to leave out the thing where I said, ah, and a man with flaming red hair that, well, on board the ship, did attempt to seduce my wife, came on the deck from the water... and did beset my crew attempting to do their jobs. Now, I consider this to be high cowardice. But we endured until we reached close to the ship. But it was wily and faster than us. And mostly it was that the wind was not in our favor. And there was smoke. And there was a woman behind the wheel who seemed... she was completely boring looking. I have nothing to say about her other than she somehow knew how to pilot a ship through a firestorm against the wind. Nonetheless, I shall destroy them, for they have impeded the trade of human flesh that we desire. All right, that's my story.
I love it.
Well, then.
I love it. I love it.
Caitlin, what's going on in the town?
What's going on in the town? I think the sorcerers of Porte, who had fallen out of favor a bit after other magicians were...
No, it was the
Explorers Guild, right?
Yeah, it was the Explorers Guild with the detect magic.
Right, yes.
Little beep beeps.
Uh-huh. So with the Explorers Guild feeling the pressure, the Sorcerer of Porte have started making a comeback a bit, including some of the Limit Pushers faction. I think the tides are turning now. People are like, we need to seize this opportunity. We have... If we want to get leverage and power back, we need to be pushing boundaries, doing riskier things. Because there's so much disorder in the city, we need to be doing more if we want to regain our footing the way we used to. So that's what's happening.
All right.
Are you writing all this down, Mandy?
No, I did not.
Okay. That's okay.
Wait, you didn't write all of Cody's monologue down?
No, and I was a little distracted there, so.
I'm having trouble, like, describing some things on the map.
Draw a wall around the Sorcerers of Porte to show they're getting stronger. Or, like, a muscle flexing.
Okay.
Emoji this up. Mandy, give me some lore.
I have a really easy one for you, Caitlin. And I will send you what I drew, because it is very simple.
Awesome.
So... When I was on the witness side of this, I talked about how the soldiers are all starting, or the guards are starting to crack down on the citizens. And some very strange artwork has started to appear on the sides of some buildings. And there is... I do have a thought process behind what this is, but which I can share or I can just tell Zach. But it is a red carnation.
You can explain it. Go for it.
Okay. So picked a red carnation because it is actually the official Spanish flower, but I also think it works really well. There are three... lines inside of it to represent the nobility, the peasants, and the, you wouldn't call it royalty, but I kind of imagine there's like three different factions.
Like the Duke, like him specifically, yeah, like his, like, family specifically.
The ruling class. Mm-hmm. So ruling, nobility, peasants, and then there is... an O in the center for the name of the city, but it is the idea is that there is a rebellion that is growing, and that is where you can find information or friends.
All right.
So these are friends of the Duke?
Yes. Or his old ways.
Yes.
All right, moving back around. Mandy, you are now the cartographer.
Hey, not yet. I haven't done a thing.
Which one were you?
I don't remember.
You're the cartographer.
Was I? Okay.
Right?
Remind me what that does in our altered version.
Or wait.
So long ago.
You have to answer a question.
Okay.
Caitlin wasn't supposed to do the witness. Caitlin did the thing. Sorry, I messed up, Vinny. You'll get two turns next time, and Caitlin will get none.
Okay.
okay. Vinny. Who is the authority that benefits from the corruption?
Well, I have a boring answer.
Well, don't do that.
Right. Okay, so the group that benefits the most from the corruption is all of the merchants. Any merchant in the city that is selling whatever they're selling, they previously had like all kinds of oversight over them where they, like, their goods were inspected and there were regulations in place. So they couldn't like nickel and dime people and like charge them outrageous money for subpar goods. But now a lot of those regulations are either gone or are being ignored. And so a lot of these merchants are getting away with selling substandard product for way too much money, and they're getting rich off of it.
All right. Mandy, would you like a patron or a mentor?
What type of patron is this? Can I pick, or like, is this somebody who is supporting them, or is this somebody who is like a customer?
The card itself says you supported the hero because you saw potential. What did you see in the hero?
Okay, so support.
So probably the former. Yeah, support.
And it would be supporting the crew or the Duchess.
Yeah. Okay, so definitely, I'm definitely doing the patron, because I figured you're picking a card for that.
All right.
If you could go female, that would be easier.
Sure. What do you can do a story of love or of prophecy.
I think I'm going to go with prophecy.
All right. And here's a card for you, Mandy. It's like a woman in a blue shawl.
Yeah, she almost looks like somebody, someone you would see in like a fortune telling tent, but without like a ton of jewelry, like a very plain version of that.
Yes.
I admit I do not have a lot to offer in terms of, riches or, financial assistance, but there was something about that girl. I mean, it was obvious that she was from nobility, but the cards don't lie. I foresee a lot of turmoil in the next several years of her life. But if she can move past that, then the fortitude card does not lie. And she will be successful. I am a little more worried about who she is traveling with. That will be its own adventure, I foresee. But thankfully, I do have a few names that I was able to pass on to them. And perhaps that will help her get back to where she is supposed to be.
All right, Vinny, witness me.
Okay.
Should have pulled up the tarot cards a lot earlier.
That was cool, though. I liked that.
This is all still year one, right?
This is all still year one.
This is going to take us 10 episodes just to get through the prologue.
Well, I think this is year one's going to be the hardest.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be one more episode of prologue next time with just like how timing's going, but we should get through it in just one more, I think.
What was the witness thing last time? Which was that?
The Sorcerers of Porte regaining strength.
Does the thing I pick have to relate to something that we already talked about, like in our...
Nope, you can make up something whole cloth.
Okay.
The requirements are it's happening in the first year and in the town. And it does not affect the five of, or the four of you, like, directly.
All right. I think I got a good idea. I am going to tie it to something we already did. In fact, I'm going to tie it to something I did. So in past history, the Duelist Guild had gotten corrupt and basically forced out of town and replaced by a nice new respectable Duelist Guild. Well, with a lot of the upheaval in town, I wouldn't say the Duelist Guild has started to get corrupt, but they've started to get lax. Their reputation is starting to slip a little bit. They're starting to kind of lose some of that respect, and it could open the door for a return to the past. It's not there yet, but it could happen.
Cody.
Yes.
Give me a lore tidbit.
Okay. So I'm trying to remember I'm still learning how to play this game. So the lore tidbit, is that what's going on in the world right now?
No, the lore tidbit is just like something culturally that is in the town.
Oh, okay. So this is like a cultural thing that's happening?
Yeah, like Mandy had the flowers popping up for art. Kaylin had the music being like drum music.
Okay, got you. Can this establish a location?
Yes.
Okay, so the newest, like, this is the place that the town guard busts up all the time right now, right? This is what is being talked about, and did they have like newspapers back then or like...
I figured they would have been like notices.
This is what all the notices say are like, do not go to this den of iniquity. This absolute death of culture and wholesomeness in our city. This is where rot is festering, right? And it's a theater that puts on plays making fun of the rulers, right? So they definitely did like a really tasteless like farce called like the like decapitation of King Wheats or something like that, and it's like not specifically by name about the you know the what was his name, Duke Zach, give me his name,
Esteban.
Yeah, it was not exactly about him getting killed, but it basically was, you know, and there was like this ensemble cast of like all of these very sinister murderers all standing there with like bloody knives and nooses and poison that they're all like hiding behind their back, you know, and it's all played for laughs. It's all really like vulgar and bawdy, you know, it's like, oh, this is just lowbrow, just in bad taste art, but it is like rapidly becoming the most popular thing, as it is all of these really like tongue-in-cheek insulting plays keep going up on this theater that's like constantly getting raided, you know, it's like every night guards rush in and everyone's like scatter, you know, and they all like run off into the night as like people in like stage makeup and costumes with big wigs and goofy masks are like running through the street getting chased by guards for putting on their illegal plays, and then like they knock down the stage, and then like the next day it's moved 5 feet over, it's just a bunch of like crates with a blanket thrown over it, and they like put on the show again, you know. So outlaw theater.
Do they put up posters around town saying outlaws wanted?
Yeah. That's definitely what they're called though, is the outlaw theater. They, and it's like definitely everyone in it really fancies themselves like a cowboy. They're all like, dude, we're dangerous. We're sticking it. We're sticking it to the man. We're really cool. And they're all just the worst.
Do they all talk with a drawl just like for the for the effect of it, you know?
They're like the type of people that every time, you know, it's like, you know, at 3 a.m, like this guy's gonna roll in with like his stage makeup smudged and just go to whoever is at the bar and start hitting on anyone. Just like, do you know I'm one of those outlaw theater people? Like, yeah, really impressive. Like, you don't understand. I played a cow, but that cow was actually the captain of the guard and he knew it. Yeah, I've been arrested before. I'm pretty dangerous, man. Anyways, what's your number? It's like that kind of thing.
Anyway, what's your number?
Or I'm sorry, where do I send my pigeon to?
Where do I send my pigeon?
You know, can we exchange body sketches?
Oh, I'll tell where you can send your pigeon, Cody.
That reminds me of a story I heard back when England was still transporting prisoners off to like Australia. There was someone who was transported to Australia, and it was like a 3-strike system. And all 3 of his strikes were theft of a duck. He'd stolen the same man's duck 3 times and finally just got shipped off to Australia because we can't stop it.
We keep trying. We can't do it.
I like the idea that it's easier to send someone to Australia than to stop them stealing a duck.
I'm just like, is there like a closer place you can deport him to than Australia?
All right, moving on to the last phase of this round, or of this part, Mandy.
Yes?
Why is the corruption overlooked by the general population, and what is their justification?
I don't know if overlooked. I think it's more like ignored with the general population, because for the most part, this is something that affects the nobility and the ruling class more than the general population. So for them, it's, well, this is just another day. And like that part doesn't necessarily affect our everyday lives, But I think there's also a little bit of intimidation where, like, what are they going to do about it? Because there's so much happening with the guard being, you know, forceful.
All right. Caitlin, you're the companion. You have a mentor. It's going to be a tale of rescue or a tale of urgency?
I'm going to choose urgency.
And here's what your person looks like.
Okay.
Do you want to describe them?
Yeah. They have kind of a pixie cut of dark hair, a jagged pink sort of necklace of crystals, I think. And sort of like an impish expression, I would say. So a mentor with a tale of urgency.
It says, you guided the hero at one point in time. What lessons did you impart? If that helps.
Okay.
While Caitlin's thinking of that, Cody, you'll be the witness this time where you will be nudging events forward.
And that's in the town? I'm nudging events forward?
Yes. Yes. In the town.
Okay.
And Vinny, you'll be giving a lore tidbit.
Okay.
When the crew pulled me aboard after floating in the sea for God knows how long, I didn't really know what to make of them. No one seemed to quite know what they were doing. And I thought maybe I'd jumped from pan into the fire. But after a little whipping them into shape, I feel like they were onto something. They were tight-lipped about who they were and why they were there, but they seemed very close and were very welcoming. I taught them what I knew about sailing, and they worked hard. Taught them some body songs, which they caught on to even quicker. And once they dropped me off in port, I wished them well. I think about them sometimes, wondering what they're up to and if they're still floating that hunk of junk that they were floating last time I saw them. But I wish them well. Did I answer the question?
There wasn't a question.
Okay. It was a mentor story. Oh, lessons learned. Okay, it's all good.
You're spinning a tale.
Lessons learned. We learned songs about dicks and stuff. Yeah!
Cody.
Yes?
Give me a historical event of something that's happening.
Right. You want to know what absolutely drives me nuts? Is you told me that I needed to do that, and I came up with one that I was like, oh, perfect, nailed it. Got this in the... And then I forgot it. Well, I was listening to Caitlin. It's gone. I don't remember even a little bit what it was.
Cody, you know, that's your problem, is you're trying to prepare ahead. See, what I do is I just don't even start thinking until it's my turn.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess brilliance happens in the moment. But, I mean, it was good. It slapped. I remember being like, got it. Yeah, no, this is in the bag. I feel totally 100%.
What sort of, like, cultural... Was it about the arts? Was it about...
No, because mine's supposed to be about world events, right? Like,
oh, world events. Yeah. Okay. Was it about war, magic, history, peasants?
Learning body songs.
Nobility.
I think I was really trying to make it not about peasants. Wow, it's totally a blank. Guys, I'm really sorry. It's like the worst thing ever. When it's just like, hey, I've given you the ability to prepare for this. Then I'm like, yeah, I didn't. I just totally forgot to. I could have, but then I didn't. Sorry. Give me like 2 seconds to just stare blankly at this wall and see if it comes back to me.
I really like the O in the middle of the carnation, Mandy.
Oh, yay.
It's a nice symbolic detail.
I definitely had that moment where I was like, shoot, I feel like because I originally drew just like a carnation. And I was like, I feel like this probably needs to have some meaning behind it.
No, it was really good.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a thought that's different, but I need to ask a couple of questions. First of all, Mandy, you had the thing about nobles via guards move to take the city. Can you run that by me one more time real quick?
So there is a nobleman named Señor Santiago, or just Santiago, who is a nobleman.
Oh, no, he insists everyone calls him Señor Santiago. Okay. Like, it is not...
So it's Señor Santiago, he I'm going to say a lot of his family is in the city guard. And so it was pretty, like, he's always been looking for a way to gain more power because he wants to have more.
So he
kind of
became, like, de facto leader just because he sort of had the town guard.
At least with that, yes. I don't know exactly who's in charge.
Okay.
But he appears, only because I don't know if it's the person who killed
the
Duke.
No, I like that. Okay, I think I'm working off of that, okay. Kind of. And Vinny, remind me, your character is a duelist. What's the guild that they hate?
I wouldn't necessarily hate, but the duelist guild in particular kind of frowns on mercenaries.
Perfect. In my world, they hate them because I like extremes. Okay, so for the first time, a mercenary hall opens in Oratrios, and the reason is because of a sudden influx in need for strong arms, right? So, Señor San, it's kind of like a protection money thing where they just immediately start extorting people, where, like, Señor Santiago's like, look, I have the city guard. I'm kind of in charge. And then a whole bunch of, like, real cutthroat nasties move into town and are just like, yeah, you have the town guard. And we'll work for whoever pays us the most. So, Señor Santiago, do you want to have a force now, do you want to double the size of the town guard for a lot of money, or do we work for someone else who wants to say that the town guard doesn't matter? And so the mercenaries, it's just like, works for the highest bidder, whoever wants to pay them, they'll do it, which basically immediately means that anyone with a big enough, like, pocketbook can start swinging control of the city, and, like, by area, right? So, you know, like, I gave that example of the theater, and this is just, like, not necessarily that this happened, but it could, would be, like, they keep getting busted up by town guard, but what if now there's 20 mercenaries standing there with, like, swords and spears, and they, you know, the theater managed to scrape together enough money to pay them for two nights a week to, you know, keep people off their back. So I kind of like this idea that, like, paid mercenaries are now, like, half police, but kind of not. And I think it's like a slow increase in, like, it's not open war. It's just a little bit more hostile now. You know, it's like getting shaken down is not that random. And you see more fights in the streets and they try to keep it non-lethal. You know, it's like, if the town guard doesn't come out with swords and shields and spears, well, then these guys will just use clubs. But you know, the minute we start coming in there with swords, they're also going to carry swords. So it's like, it's this, like, constant, everyone's daring it to get worse and it hasn't yet, you know, or like, you know, like a couple duels break out, or like, you know, like some small long sword fights, but no one's bringing out a wall of muskets yet, you know, but we're always thinking about it.
Brutal. This town is really going down the chute fast.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly why mercenaries move in. They're like, oh, everyone needs protection. Either from us or with us. Yeah, it's either from us or from us. You either need protection from us or you need protection from us.
Vinny, tell me some lore about, tell me some culture.
Some culture. Mandy, you're the one that established the Jardín Dios, right?
Yes.
What, can you briefly describe what all you, like, what you established about that?
Yeah, so it's basically this world's version of Garden of the Gods. So it's got just, like, random rock formations, and it is used by both the city guard as a place for training, since it has natural formations that are good to use as, you know, taking cover and things like that. And also, they're not gonna, you know, it's just a natural occurring thing. So they're not destroying houses by doing these kind of practicing things. And then also children, preteens and teens usually end up out there as, like, their skipping school hangout place.
Okay. Just trying to see if there's some lore I could add to that.
I mean, it could not actually be naturally occurring. It could be, like, something that magic people have been doing out there for ages.
I like that a lot. But Vinny gets to decide.
That I actually kind of like it too, to be honest.
But you should build on that, yeah. Flesh it out a little bit.
What other magic school? I don't know what all the different magic schools are.
Well, there's Hogwarts. There's whatever it's called in that other book.
Ilvermorny. There's...
The other magics that would probably be close by is the Hexen Witches, I think. Which is like the Icen. The Icen magic would be nearby. Castile doesn't have a lot of magic in it.
Yeah, the Hexen Witches practice Hexen work.
It's the hex witches do hexes, you know.
that really cleared it up, Caitlin. Thank you.
Yeah, when you learn hexen work, you gain the ability and knowledge to create an ungund made from human corpses, herbs, poisons, pieces of monsters, and other unsavory, rare, mystical materials. Unguns help people battle monsters that lurk in the dark, granting gifts and abilities that can control, push back, and destroy the undead.
So basically witches.
Okay, I actually have an idea. Does this piece of lore have to be something recent?
Not necessarily.
And does it have to be something that's known? Like, known by people?
I mean, someone would have to know it, but I don't think super known is...
It doesn't have to be common knowledge, I don't think, but it should be in the last year.
Oh, this has to...
I don't think it needs to be in the last year. Oh, okay. I think, like, the problem is if no one knows about it and, like, it just, like, I don't, and
yeah, I mean,
it's really old, it's just, like, I don't think it will come into play ever.
Right.
Which kind of defeats the purpose of doing it, you know?
Oh, okay. I've got a decent idea. So, Jardindios?
Jardindios.
Jardindios. Okay. The Jardindios, like, in popular culture and is viewed as this like beautiful natural occurring structure, when in actuality it was actually the site of a magical war between several of the different magic factions, that just all this conflux of magic as these factions were fighting each other caused these rock formations to form up in this area to form, and that was one of the big like events that caused the Vatican Church to look down on magic. And that event has kind of been lost to time, but the Vatican Church has never forgotten.
Nice.
I like it.
And then over the years, it's kind of been somewhat reclaimed by nature. That's why it's probably more beautiful now than it was at that point. It's probably a little more sightly, but at the time, it was actually a ferocious battle site.
I like that, and I'm going to add to it. I'm going to say that it's an anti-magic zone, but it's not. No one really knows about that. Like, all the latent magic there just kind of all cancels each other out, you know? But no one knows about it because Castile doesn't have a strong magic population.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like this dead zone of magic that no one really knows about.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all these, like, you have all these young kids that try to go out there to practice magic away from prying eyes, and they can't seem to do it, and they just think, oh, I must not be doing it right. So then they just...
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
Really works in the Vatican Church's favor there. All right. So the first year comes to the end. As you guys continue your wanderings out in the wilderness, or in the seas, things are getting better. You guys are getting a little bit more of your feet under you. You guys are starting to make a name for yourselves, but you guys are cautious. You guys are still careful not to make too big of a name. You don't go after like huge targets or brag about your exploits too much. But you are like, you now have your feet under you and you are starting to do more heroic deeds and feel better on like with what you're doing and less in danger. In the town, things go from bad to worse. On a night near New Year's, towards the end of the year, there is a giant explosion of green fire that burns down the old town hall equivalent. I don't know what it would be like in this, but the Duke would often meet with different leaders and the lower class and just all around, like, everyone in the town at this building. And it was kind of seen as, like, a neutral ground in a place that, like, well, this is what sets our city apart. Like, the Duke is willing to meet with anyone down here. And it is blown up with unnatural fire, which is kind of just like the nail in the coffin that things are not good anymore. No one really knows what did it or who did it, but after that night, they begin to start to hear weird noises in the darkness, howling and other creatures that are out there that was not heard before.
Hey Wanderers, thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Corsairs of Castile. This game is being run in the 7th Sea 2nd Edition system. If you want to hear more content from the Wandering Gamer Network, you can check us out at the Wandering Gamer Network website. We stream on Twitch with the username wandering_gamers, and you can follow us on Twitter at @WGNPodcast. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. All information about the music used can be found in the episode description. Until next time, wherever you wander, may you find your way home.